If you have a question for Dave and Tom to respond to in a future Contending for the Faith, stay with us. We'll have our contact information at the end of the program. You are listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Now, our final segment, Understanding the Scriptures, and we resume our excursion through the book of Acts. Here again are Dave and Tom.
This is our Understanding the Scriptures segment. We're in the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 16, and we're going to start right out with verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, that would be Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek.
Well, Tom, this has been much discussed. Was Paul wrong?
Mm-hmm.
He has Timothy circumcised, and so he doesn't offend the Jews. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, to the Jew I became as a Jew, to the Greek I became as a Greek. He's not compromising the gospel. Timothy is already saved, so he's not saying, Timothy, you're not saved unless you get circumcised. But it's so as not to give an offense to some of these Jews.
After all, Timothy was Jewish, at least half Jewish.
Right. Well, he was really fully Jewish because it goes by the mother. So his mother was a Jewess and his father was a Greek. So I don't have any problem with Paul. He makes it very, very clear that if you're circumcised, this is Galatians chapter 5, if you're circumcised, in other words, to be saved for your salvation or for your standing before God, then Christ profits you nothing, he says. If you're looking to something other than Jesus Christ, so Paul is certainly not doing that. He's only doing it so that there won't be some offense to say, hey, you got this uncircumcised guy. This would be unsaved Jews. I don't believe Paul would do that for the Christian Jews.
No, it was, again, it was his witness to them that was having accessibility to these Jews. That's what it helped. And verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Now, Dave, there's an interesting contrast because Paul, for some of our listeners who maybe have joined us for the first time, who was at Antioch, where Gentiles were being saved, then came Judaizers, those Jewish legalists, to Antioch and told the Gentiles that they must be circumcised in order to truly be saved.
These Judaizers were Christians.
Right.
But they were mistaken about that.
Right.
They got saved through faith in Christ, but they were Jews, and they thought, well, I guess salvation is only for Jews. Well, then you got to be circumcised and so forth. So Paul is not doing it for that reason.
No. But my point here is that there was a letter then sent from those in Jerusalem to the Gentiles saying, look, you don't need to be circumcised. You don't need to come under the law of Moses.
Right.
And there were a few things that they recommended that they do. But Paul is giving out this decree.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the issue with he's not contradicting himself with Timothy. That's my point.
Right. So Tom, as you're pointing out, verse 4, he is bringing these decrees, or this letter, actually. He continues to read this letter, not only to the Gentile believers in Antioch, but everywhere he went. This is Gentile country now. I find verse 5 really wonderful. So were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Wow, people are getting saved every day. And we often wonder, well, why don't we see that happening today? Well, part of the problem is, Tom, we don't want to get off on that. Seeker-friendly churches, we only want to tell the sinner, not that he's a sinner. Robert Schuller says that would be an insult, that would drive him away. You want to build up their self-esteem. The gospel isn't even preached in many churches, in most churches, Tom. Many pastors don't even believe it today. And there's great confusion everywhere. But God is saving many souls.
And Dave, the point that you're making, you know, I love this verse as well. It's so set forth here. And so were the churches established in the faith.
Right.
In other words, they were not set up as a magnet to draw the lost. They brought people in who were saved, discipled them, established them in the faith, then they went out to bring the gospel to others. Now, we have that reversed today, especially in the whole church growth, seeker-friendly mentality.
Right. And you would relate this then to Jude, verse 3. I found it necessary to write unto you to earnestly contend for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints.
Mm-hmm.
For certain men have crept in unawares. Okay, so what is this faith that they're established in? It's the once-for-all delivered faith that we are to earnestly contend for. They were established in it. And there would be those, well, Paul says to the elders at Ephesus, where he calls them from Miletus, he's on his way to Rome, and he says, after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So remember, he says, how for the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. So Paul is saying, look out. There are going to be those who will corrupt the word of God, even from among yourselves. Mm-hmm. Men will arise. And Paul makes it very clear why they do this. It says, to draw away disciples after them. Just like I quoted Benny Hinn earlier in the program. You don't come to this church just to hear what you get everywhere else. No, there's not 3 of them, there's 9 of them. What's he doing? He is introducing corrupt teachings, perverse teachings, in order to draw away disciples after him. And everywhere you find a cult, the corruption of the word of God by some prophet, some leader, whatever it is.
Some commissioned apostle.
Right. Or those who commission them.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they doing this? Because they want to be different from everybody else. They want to show you that they have a monopoly on the truth, that they're on the inside track with God. Follow me. We've really got it. And of course, that's how, I guess, denominations began, wasn't it? And then the quarrel is Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, every one of you says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. No, they weren't crucified for you. Let's get back to following the Lord. And then Paul says, as I think you quoted last week, follow me even as I follow Christ.
Dave, you bring up an interesting point here. As a former Catholic and somebody who loves Roman Catholics and certainly tries to witness to them. But one objection they have to me leaving the Catholic Church is they say, well, look, you were in the one true church. Now you've gone off to this evangelical Christianity. Look, you've got thousands and thousands of denominations. You've got all kinds of things. Whereas we are one church, we're following the truth. We're not diversified like you are. So what you just said earlier with all of these different individuals drawing people after themselves, that's what they lodge against you or me as an evangelical Christian.
But, Tom, you could say it better than I can. The Catholic Church is divided into how many? How many divisions?
Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable.
So,
plus, growing up, I was and many of us, we called ourselves cafeteria Catholics. We didn't buy what the church says for this or for that, or whether we pick and chose what we wanted to believe and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so I think they need to get the beam out of their own eye before knocking the mote out of ours. On the other hand, Tom, I will accept that criticism because it is not good what has happened. and the divisions. There should be no divisions, and so this is what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, you are to keep the unity of the faith in the bond of peace. There is one faith, one baptism, one Lord, and so forth. It's not that we are to make unity. We are to keep the unity. And Jesus prayed for unity in the true Lord's Prayer in John 17, that they all may be one, as thou art in me and I in thee. So our unity is in Christ. But as soon as we stray, and that's what has happened from the Word of God and from following the Lord, then we begin to have these divisions. And it's not pleasing to the Lord.
Dave and Tom will continue their discussion on the topic of salvation next week. We hope you can tune in. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. And now, to tell you more about our ministry, here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
The name the Berean Call is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, where we find the Apostle Paul entering the synagogue in the Greek city of Berea, after he had just come from Thessalonica. To these Bereans, he preached that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah sent from God. They were commended for being noble or fair-minded, not only for their willingness to hear what Paul had to say about the matter, but more specifically because they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether or not what the apostle was saying was found in God's Word. That's what we hope to encourage through this ministry. Our mission is to alert believers in Christ to unbiblical teachings and practices impacting the church. We want to exhort believers to give greater heed to biblical discernment and truth regarding what they are accepting as spiritual. We hope to supply those who profess to be biblical Christians with information and materials that will encourage the love of God's truth. Hopefully, we can help mobilize believers in Christ to action in obedience to the scriptural command to earnestly contend for the faith found in Jude 3. And finally, our prayer is that we can be used of God to stimulate Christians to look to the Bible alone as their rule of faith, authority, and practice in living lives pleasing to our Lord and Savior. Gary?
Would you like to expand your knowledge of God's Word? We offer a wide variety of items that will greatly assist you. From books and tracts to audio and video recordings, CD-ROM, our website, and much more. For a complete list of materials or to get a copy of today's broadcast, write to us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Call us at our toll-free order number, 877-882-4253. That's 877-88-BIBLE. Or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast on tape or compact disc, ask for program number 4106. And be sure to mention the call letters of this station. Get a pen or pencil ready. We'll repeat our contact information in just a moment. Next week, we'll continue our series of programs based on Dave Hunt's book, When Will Jesus Come? And Would Christians in Government Make the World Better? In Religion in the News, Adjusting Holy Days. We'll take a look at that story and address the question, what about the Apocrypha? We hope you can join us. If you have questions or comments about this program, we urge you to contact our offices. Search the Scriptures Daily radio ministry is made possible by God's grace, your prayers, and your financial support. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for tuning in and invite you to join us again next week. Until then, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily. For more information about the Berean Call, write to us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Call us toll-free at our order number 877-882-4253. That's 877-88-BIBLE. or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org.